Welcome to a Weird News Roundup, presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We explore strange tales reported on by Odyssey's radio newsrooms from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. This week, we're looking into missing Egyptian artifacts and animal rescues from a pig and a snake to nearly 150 cats. Then we'll hear about a serial pooper in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we'll learn all about what the blood moon eclipse on Thursday and into Friday morning was all about. Let's start in Los Angeles, California. There, Odyssey station KNX News reported on what seems like the plot to one of those hard-boiled detective novels that played out when the Federal Bureau of Investigation recovered missing Egyptian artifacts.
Well, the LA FBI agents have returned priceless and historic items to Egypt, of all places. It's not totally clear how they got here. We get more on the story from Craig Figner.
They were likely pilfered from Egypt decades ago. The FBI has gone public with what they've discovered. 48 cultural artifacts, mostly small statues. They appear to be carved from stone, and they have repatriated them to Egypt via the Egyptian Consul General here in Los Angeles.
The items may have been inherited or exchanged hands multiple times before being identified as illegally in our country. We encourage anyone who suspects that they may have looted cultural property to contact their local FBI office or legal attaché office overseas. In the past 10 years, U.S. law enforcement has returned over 5,000 cultural artifacts to Egypt.
That's Patrick Grandy, the assistant director in charge of LA's FBI field office. Investigators are only saying that the artifacts were discovered here in Los Angeles and that the suspected trafficker has since died, but there could be co-conspirators, and for that reason, they describe this as technically an open investigation. In Westwood, FBI headquarters, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News.
Also in LA, KNX News has been on the story of a pig that got loose on the streets of West Hollywood. The pig's name is Wilbur, and he's been rescued. Since this story happened in the LA area, we shouldn't be surprised that the pig's new owner is a legendary songwriter, Diane Warren, who joined KNX's Alex Silverman to discuss her decision to adopt Wilbur.
So happy to be joined now by Diane Warren. Diane, first of all, how are you and how's Wilbur?
I'm good. Wilbur's living his best life.
You've won Grammys. You're the only songwriter ever to get an honorary Oscar. Where does winning a pig rank
and,
in all
and,
that?
And lose 17 of them.
Right. Well, hopefully that changes.
I'm going to try again.
Where does winning a pig rank in all that?
Yeah, I was saying, like, I lose Oscars, but I won a pig. It's great. I'm just happy that we saved him. My friend Marcia Zwilling, who runs my my rescue ranch, she went and bid for him at a shelter. And I want people to be aware there's lots of animals that need homes. There's lots of dogs and cats that are waiting for forever homes. You know, so maybe go visit a shelter and adopt a new friend.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a long time. When you saw the video of Wilbur running through West Hollywood, what made you say, I've got to have him?
I mean, I saw him. He looked like he could run a marathon. That little pig's fast. And I'm surprised somebody even caught him. When I saw him, I called Marcia and I go, we have to save this pig. You know, let's bring him to the ranch, you know, and he has some pig friends there.
Yeah, how competitive did you get with the bidding? Was there a number where you were going to say, maybe I'll let him go to somebody else?
No, I just said, do what you got to do. You know, I'm not even sure what the bid ended up being, but the good news is we got him. He's really cute, you know?
Yeah, he is. I hear you already have a pig named Wilbur, though, so any idea what you might rename him?
Well, since he was found in Hollywood, he's Wilbur the sequel. Now, the other one is named, we renamed the other one Fat Wilbur. It's a fat pig, as you might imagine. And this one's Wilbur Hollywood.
You want to tell the audience about Wilbur or your ranch or...
I want people to be aware that these animals deserve to live as much as we do. And you see it was National Bacon Day of all things yesterday. And if you just realize that's they all start out as cute little pigs. And if you're eating meat, you're basically, you know, part of their murder. You know, you're part of what ends their lives, and they deserve to live as much as we do. So I'm a vegan and try to be as much a voice for the voiceless as I can. There's a lot of us, you know, thank God. And, you know, do whatever you could do, you know, maybe not go full on vegan, but maybe think about what's on your plate.
Well, a lot of people out there. Yep. A lot of people out there are happy that Wilbur has a new home and grateful to you for what you do. Diane Warren, the legend, thank you for taking a couple minutes for us today.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time to talk to me.
Across the country, more animal rescue efforts were underway this week at the Humane Society of Huron Valley in Michigan. That's where nearly 150 cats recently needed some rescuing. Amanda Forrester of Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit spoke to Humane Society of Huron Valley Director of Communications Wendy Welch about this influx.
So the Humane Society put out an email recently talking about an influx of cats they received. Why don't we start with where these 149 cats have come from?
Yeah, it is. It's a very unusual and pretty disturbing year for us. Lately, within the last 4 weeks, we have done four large-scale cat rescues within the area. One was in Manchester, another in Ypsilanti, one in Northville, and then another in Ann Arbor Township.
And what were the conditions like for the cats? Why did the Humane Society step in and take these animals?
Right. Well, a few of these situations were because homeowners reached out to us. And we always, of course, appreciate that. We understand that things can get out of hand really quickly. And so we were able to step in and help rescue the cats there. Several of the situations were hoarding situations where there were just a number of cats, so ranging in ages and conditions, from kittens to adults, and some in okay condition and friendly, and others extremely scared and in very poor condition. And then there's an ongoing, one of them is an ongoing investigation, and where the authorities were involved and got us involved as investigators. So those are still pending.
And what does the future look like for these cats? Are these going to be cats that are available for adoption? Are they going to be going to other shelters or rescues? I know obviously they probably need medical treatment and evaluations and stuff, but what do the next steps look like?
Yes, thank you so much for asking that. Yeah, some of them have already been placed for adoption and have found loving homes, we're happy to say, so they were able to get the medical treatment they needed and behavioral intervention. Others are still not ready for adoption. We had a number of cats, in fact, come in who had lots of eye conditions due to the high amount of ammonia in the home. You know, of course, as you can imagine, when there are hoarding situations, there's lots of feces and urine, and so they have been in some very unsanitary conditions. And lots of them are very afraid of people, and so they need some behavioral intervention and some TLC that way. So some of the cats will be released for adoption very quickly, and others need some more time. Lots of the cats will need patience, though, even in the home. And so we're hoping people step forward to adopt cats before these situations. Of course, we've been having kittens come in as regular. It's been kitten season. It's been a bumper crop of kitten season for us this year, very unprecedented. In June, we had more kittens come into the Humane Society of Huron Valley than ever before. So we're really hoping for adopters, whether, you know, you want a kitten, whether you want a social cat, whether you want, you know, a barn cat. We've got everything at the Humane Society of Huron Valley right now.
And in Brooklyn, a python that found itself on display on a Coney Island boardwalk was recently confiscated, according to Odyssey Station 1010 Winds in New York City.
A Brooklyn man who was caught showing off two giant snakes to a crowd at Coney Island last month is now in some legal trouble. The guy's name hasn't been released, but he's facing a charge from environmental officials who say one of the snakes, a Burmese python, is illegal to own in New York State. He was spotted July 12th near the Riegelman Boardwalk with that snake and a ball python wrapped around his neck while surrounded by about a dozen gawkers, including children. An environmental conservation officer says the man admitted to owning the giant reptile. It was confiscated and transferred to the Nassau County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Officials say Burmese pythons aren't only dangerous, the snakes can have a seriously negative effect on the local environment if they're released into the wild. It's not unusual for owners of exotic pets to dump them when they become too much of a hassle.
When we get back from a quick break, we'll hear about a public pooper causing trouble in Tulsa and all about the blood moon eclipse that occurred this week. Stay tuned for this on our Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Last Friday, the Tulsa Police Department shared a photo of a man who had allegedly been terrorizing one of the city's neighborhoods with his own poo. Yeah. The police department asked for the public's help to stop this perpetrator. And the Dana and Parks podcast out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City has more on the story. Let's listen.
In Tulsa, there's a serial defecator.
Which, by the way, before you read that, what happened to the jogger in Leawood?
Yeah.
Who would run around Lee Boulevard?
It was a problem.
And take some dumps?
I don't know. It just, that story just went away. I don't know if they moved, because if it was still going on, we would hear about it. Like, police became involved.
Well, of course they did.
Disgusting.
You can't go running around the city dropping trow everywhere you go.
Or in an elevator, but clearly someone did.
Something did.
Your dateline is Tulsa. Security camera footage shows a man in a thong, a shower cap, and a cut open mask exposing himself.
Wait, stop. I want you to go back.
There's a lot going on in this headline.
Let's sit on that one for a second.
I wasn't ready for all that. Start over from the beginning. Police are doing what?
There is a serial defecator on the loose in Tulsa. Last seen wearing a thong, a mask with a hole cut out of it, and a shower cap outside of a shopping center.
Because why not?
Mm-hmm. Police in Tulsa need the public's help. They are looking for someone they have dubbed, quote, a serial defecator.
Most exciting thing to happen in Tulsa in like time. Forever.
Yeah. A quote, this is straight from the police. A quote, mostly naked man has been terrorizing local businesses.
Oh, he's wearing a thong?
And is on... We call that a log splitter.
Isn't there a song about that? Thong, thong, thong.
He has been terrorizing local businesses and is on the loose despite the Tulsa Police Department's attempts to capture him. A business owner in a shopping center reported that the man, again, wearing a thong, had...
We got it.
It's hot down there.
He did what he did. I'm not going to read that next line.
Does he remove the thong before...
I don't... It doesn't say...
That would be appropriate.
I do want... So police have released a photo, and it just says, do you know this man?
A photo of what?
He is naked, Dan. Like, if you know this guy, you know who this is. It's not grainy. It literally, he is just standing there.
He's not wearing a shirt at all.
Completely, he is not wearing a shirt. He...
Thong mask and shower cap?
That's bizarre.
So by mask... I thought Halloween mask, right?
No.
This is a surgical mask with the mouth cut open.
Which at that point, what's the point?
Maybe he's trying to make a statement.
I like it.
Maybe.
The caller came in and told me that there's actually an Urban Dictionary term for this called the Phantom Crapper.
For real?
Yeah, it's a colloquial and urban legend term for an anonymous person who defecates in bizarre, unexpected, or inappropriate public or workplace.
Okay, well,
important. location. Well,
that's very important. In Tulsa, very it important. Is not an urban legend because they have this guy on security. Listen to this, quote, officers have responded to the area on multiple occasions, but have yet to track him down. Let me tell you what's going on right there. Okay. Police are like, I don't. Yes. Is this illegal? Absolutely. Frowned upon 100%. But if this was your shift and you that is in the area of this little strip mall that you are patrolling, I'm just going to look the other way. I'll be honest. I am not going anywhere near that dude.
I saw nothing.
I did not sign up for this.
Here are the words that are not heard on the two-way talkback with the communications. Yeah, we're closest. We got this.
Why don't you go ahead and take this, Bob? And then this line ended the story from the Tulsa Police Department. Quote, please, if you know where we can find him, we would love to relieve these business owners.
I can tell you where you won't find him. Relieve? In the bathroom. Nope. Well, you won't. Does he at least take toilet paper with him?
No, no, it does not appear that that's what is going on there.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay. Talk.
To end the show, we'll move on from streets filled with stepping hazards to the sky, where a blood moon eclipse was visible across the U.S. this Thursday and into Friday morning. It was a near total lunar eclipse. And it got its name because it gives the moon a reddish glow as the Earth passes directly between the sun and the moon. According to the Old Farmer's Almanac, blood moons are associated with hype, folklore, and even some biblical passages. Odyssey station WWJ News Radio's Amanda Forrester spoke to Cranbrook astronomer Michael Narlock about this eclipse ahead of the event this week.
Why don't we start with what people can expect to see later this week?
Well, beginning Thursday night at about 10:30-ish, you will note that the moon is beginning to change. And what's happening is the moon is plunging into the Earth's shadow, and it'll take several hours for it to move completely through the shadow. But what you're seeing is a partial lunar eclipse. Partial because the moon is not going to go completely into the darkest part of the Earth's shadow, but it will be covered by about 93% of the Earth's shadow.
How will people know that this is when the eclipse is happening? What will the moon look like?
Well, at its peak, the moon will be very red, with just a hint, a very small bit of the regular moon shining through it at one of the sides. So it'll look a nice red color. The reason for the red color is when light passes through the Earth's atmosphere, blue light gets scattered quite a bit. That's why our skies are normally blue, leaving the red light to pass through almost unscathed. So the Earth's shadow is a very red color. So when the moon passes through that shadow, it goes from that silvery disk that we're used to seeing in the sky to a very red-colored moon.
And for people that want to see as much of the moon covered as they can, what is going to be the best time to head outside and look up?
It begins, the part that we can see with our human eyes or with telescopes begins at around 10:30, and it will go until almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
So people are going to need to stay up a little bit to be able to see this.
They're going to have to stay up if they want to see the whole thing. But what I usually tell people, if sleep matters to you, you can stay up till a little after midnight. You'll see it go from just a little bit of an eclipse to its absolute peak, which happens just after midnight. Then the rest of it is just sort of the reverse of what you just saw. So if you have limited availability, you can pop outside for as long as it's between 10:30 and 2 o'clock and see part of the eclipse. A little after midnight is the peak of it, or you can just watch the first half if that's to your liking.
And is Cranbrook doing anything for people that want to come out and experience this eclipse with professionals?
Absolutely. We have what's called our Blood Moon event, which will go from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., and we'll have our telescopes trained on the moon. We'll have planetarium programs. We'll have a an ice cream bar if you want to have a little sweet treat, and we'll have members of the Warren Astronomical Society on hand as well to take a look at the moon through their telescopes.
And when can we expect to see another one of these coming up? Because I know that we have usually a couple blood moons that happen. So when will the next one roll around if, for whatever reason, the clouds roll in and we are unable to see this one?
Well, the next one that we'll be able to see with regular telescopes and regular eyes is January 12th of 2028. Unfortunately, that one is almost the exact reverse of the one we have now, so it will be barely visible. The next one that will be much more visible will be in June of 2029 and December of 2029. So we'll have two total lunar eclipses in 2029. So we'll have to wait a couple of years for another really good chance to see a lunar eclipse.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KNX News in Los Angeles, 1010 Winds in New York, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, and the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City. You can find all of these programs and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.